And Father, we pray now that you would encourage us to keep walking forward with you in our faith. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Planning for the future seems like an almost impossible task these days, doesn't it? Most of us here probably come from a generation that would have been fairly certain that we'd get a job, that we'd possibly even work for the same company, or at least in the same line of work for most of our working lives. Many of us would be fairly certain we'd be able to afford to get married and buy our own homes and settle down. These days, so many things seem to be up in the air. Even being able to get a fixed contract on your energy bills is a bit hit and miss sometimes. And if there's one thing that is certain these days, is uncertainty. And maybe you're the kind of person who thrives on a bit of uncertainty. Most of us can probably cope with some uncertainty as long as there are a few key things that we know that we can rely on. The writer of the Hebrews says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That kind of faith would seem to be exactly the kind of anchor that we could really use to help us cope with all the other uncertainties in life. Although, quite interestingly, the kind of faith they go on to describe embraces quite a bit of uncertainty. One question is, what is our hope in? The faith that's being described in Hebrews is a confidence in a very specific hope. It's not just wishful thinking or simple optimism. Neither is it hope in the everyday things of this world and a desire simply for things to be better. If we look back through the letter and trace the train of thought, the hope of which the writer speaks and says that we can unswervingly put our hope and faith in is a relationship with God. Being able, he says, to draw close to him and to know that we have an eternal home with him. Made possible, they explain, by the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross. That's what we're hoping for. Not just earthly success or comfort, but an eternal home. Faith means that we can be completely confident in that relationship with God and in that eternal home. We can be assured about that, even though those are things that we can't physically see yet. That confidence and assurance is a key feature of the kind of faith that Hebrews is all about. But there are some other important features of this faith, and the writer draws these out by recounting the stories of some of the Old Testament heroes. Albeit heroes of faith who have feet of clay, as we often know as we read their stories. And in our reading that we had today, we've heard about Abraham. Faith starts for him. It talks about he's called, and faith often starts with a sense of being called, a pull, a tug, towards something, and sometimes initially you might not even really know what it is, we just know that something, someone is calling us. Or it might be a push away and realizing that there must be more to life than this, or that the things in this life don't satisfy as we wanted them to. And then there has to be a response. And one of the things emphasised about Abraham's faith is that it's characterised by his response of obedience and trust. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Abraham responded to God's call and put his trust in God. And that was no mean feat. It meant giving up everything that was familiar to him, family, home, culture. And, it says, he did not know where he was going. Now, I'm the sort of person Who will check my route on a map when I'm going on a journey, even if I'm going to be using my sat nav? I like to have a sort of mental picture in my mind of my journey, and I most definitely want to know the destination. I'm even likely to do that if I'm a passenger, just in case the driver might not have been making the same diligent preparations. I'd have been useless on this new programme, Destination X, if anyone's seen it on television, where they don't know where they are, where they're going, or anything. Abraham set off on God's say-so, without knowing the route or the destination. That's obedience. That's trust. That's faith. Faith doesn't wait for clarity before it obeys. Faith doesn't wait for all the boxes to be checked before it acts. It moves because God speaks. But it seems, doesn't it, that even in this faith, it's a faith that embraces quite a bit of uncertainty in that case. The next thing that we learn from Abraham's faith is that it's a journey. It's not a case of, great, got faith, tick, and sit back. He's literally living in tents, moving from place to place. And when he does get to the promised land, he's living, it says, like a stranger in a foreign country. Even there, there's this sense of impermanence, transitory existence. If our faith gives us a confident, unswerving hope in an eternal home with our Heavenly Father, then this world isn't our final destination. This isn't our final home. We're just passing through. We're all pilgrims on a journey. Faith is about pilgrimage. It's about being God's people, following God's direction to the place of God's blessing. Being God's people, following God's direction to the place of God's blessing. Now, if you read Abraham's story in Genesis, you'll see that his journey had a fair few ups and downs. As he learned more about this God he had decided to follow, and learned more about what it really meant to trust him. And he didn't always get it right. But God didn't choose Abraham because he was perfect, but because he had faith. With God, the journey is often just as important as the destination, because it's on the journey that we learn to trust him, on the journey that we learn to stay close to him. Having a pilgrimage faith kind of reshapes how we see ourselves and our journey. We are sojourners in this life, journeying to our eternal home. And that reshapes how we see things like our possessions and our plans. We hold them lightly because our real treasure is elsewhere. It even reshapes our understanding of hardship and troubles and suffering. This too will pass. It's not that we don't see this life as important. This life is God's gift to us, and he wants us to use it well. But it's not everything. We should always have that longing for the better country that the writer says, our true home. And with that longing comes another feature of our faith. It has to be patient. It's a good job, isn't it, that it's one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit grows in our lives. Abraham was called and went to the place he would later receive. He was looking forward to the city whose builder and architect is God. All those people that the writer cites who were still living by faith when they died, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. As followers of Jesus, we know what it is to wait expectantly for something that we don't know exactly when is going to come. God had promised Abraham a son who was eventually born to him. But God's promise of descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky or as countless as the sand on the seashore, that took far longer than Abraham's lifetime. Faith believes and holds on to the truth that God's delays are not his denials. God's delays are not his denials. Faith holds on even when fulfillment of God's promises seem distant, even when there's an element, as we talked before, of the now, but also the not yet. And that is patience. But the idea of having to be patient as we wait for God to fulfill his promises seems to introduce a new level of uncertainty to our faith. Or if the not knowing how things will work out or where exactly God is leading makes things seem very uncertain, then we always have to keep in mind who it is that we have faith in and why. By faith, says the writer, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And that might seem a bit of a random sort of statement to sort of stick into the flow of what he's saying, but the point is this. The whole of creation is somehow the result of God's intention and engineering. Everything that we can see around us is therefore a demonstration of and a witness to his power, the power that can create something out of nothing. And this is who we have faith in. This is who we can trust. This is why we can trust him. The God who can make things that seem impossible, possible. He's also the God who is faithful. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. It wasn't easy for Sarah, we know that as we read Genesis, but she held on to that belief that God was faithful, and in time she could look upon her son and believe and know that indeed God was faithful to his promises. And we can look at the son and know that God is faithful. None of us know what the future holds. In a world of uncertainty, that much is certain. But if we have faith in Jesus, we're not defined by our job or our possessions, our success, our failures, or our struggles. We're pilgrims here, on our way to a home prepared for us. The challenge, then, is to live like those who already belong to a better country, as we seek to serve and to give and to love, as those who are not living for this world alone. And we need to be encouraging each other to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep hoping, because we are on this pilgrimage together. Like Abraham, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but God does. In a world of uncertainty, faith doesn't mean that we have all the answers. It just means that we trust the one who does.